Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, offering online bachelor completion programs, including business, education, nursing, and more. Information is available at viterbo.edu/completion.
Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
Everyone has food likes and dislikes. But American culture today seems to be filled mostly with food warnings. Don't eat sugar, it'll make you diabetic. Don't eat fat, it'll clog your arteries. Don't eat meat, it's unethical and it'll make you sick. Don't eat carbohydrates, they'll make you fat, and on and on. University of Southern California sociologist Barry Glassner sums up Americans' current attitude toward food as the gospel of naught. He told Steve Paulson that we seem to think the value of a meal lies principally in what it lacks. The less sugar, salt, fat, calories, carbs, preservatives, additives, and other suspect stuff, the better the meal. Yeah, it's a wonder there's anything left to eat.
In the U.S. these days, and for quite a while, we view foods as either saintly or sinful or nutritious or healthy, very black and white, pro or con, good or bad, and with, I think, a kind of semi-religious overtone. And basically what I found in my research for the Gospel of Food is that whether a food was seen one way or another at a particular time seemed to have less to do with the food itself in many cases than with who was promoting it or denouncing it and their interests.
Well, give me some examples of that, how our thinking about particular foods has waxed and waned, why some things are considered bad one year and then perfectly healthy another year.
A great example of that is eggs. Eggs now are widely regarded and rightly regarded as staples of the human diet. They have a lot to offer, you know. They abound in protein and B vitamins and lots of other nutrients at relatively low cost. But if you look back just a short time, a couple of decades really, nutritionists, nutritional activists in particular, and some health writers, a lot of them actually, were warning to the general public that they should stay away from eggs. And as a result, egg consumption in the U.S. plummeted, even though the evidence for a link between egg consumption, certainly moderate egg consumption, and heart disease is slight to non-existent.
You're saying all of that concern about eating a lot of eggs leading to cholesterol is basically a myth, that the science just does not support that?
Yeah, I think what's interesting about that is that even people who were advocating that back then have backed off from it and don't make that claim anymore. You know, we go through these cycles in general.
Right, right. And we've also heard about red meat, for instance. So for a long time, we heard that red meat was bad for you. Other times, it's been a staple of certain dieting plans. And the same with potatoes, the same with soy. The list goes on.
That's right. And they come and go. And I think that's on the, you know, the approved, disapproved, sacred, saintly, demonic lists, you know, of where they're categorized. I think one of the more interesting surveys found that 9 out of 10 Americans believe that certain foods have benefits that go beyond basic nutrition. You know, I mean, we kind of believe in miracles in these foods. But exactly which foods and which benefits vary tremendously. If you're talking about red meat, for instance, at least a substantial number of the followers of the late Dr. Atkins believe that eating meat at every meal or most every meal is going to be a magical potion for them, for weight loss, for longevity, for health. And then at the opposite end of the same spectrum, vegans and vegetarians believe that their meatless regimen is saintly in itself, that it's going to prevent every serious malady from heart disease to world hunger.
Now, you are pretty cynical about how food is marketed, and I'm wondering if you could be more specific here in terms of what we should look for as consumers when we go out and buy food and we see all these warnings or we read about certain dietary advantages of using certain foods, avoiding others. How should we be more consumer aware?
I think one thing that we should always keep in mind is who is selling us this notion, and are they doing it this week, this month, this year? Is it likely to disappear next year? What was the one last year? You know, so right now as we're talking, omega-3 is a big item. It's appearing in everything. You know, it's been added to eggs. I saw some pet food that had it recently. You know, it was oat bran for a while, and you could buy oat bran beer and so forth. And, you know, falling for whatever is the current nutrient or additive or fad food or fad diet is almost always a mistake. They don't last, they don't persist, and they grossly oversimplify what's going on.
So what should we make of all of this? Is it just to do everything in moderation?
I'll tell you, this sort of mantra that I came away with is to eat well, eat enjoyably, and eat moderately over the long haul, and to keep trying to educate myself about who's marketing to me to which ends, and to try to be less naive about that. Part of what's left out in the contemporary American way of thinking about diet, it seems to me, is that enjoyment of the meal is very important. We sort of leave that out. You know, if a food is a pleasure to eat, that's beneficial in itself. I looked at some studies that suggest that at the physiological level, not just emotionally. You get more nutrients out of the meal if you're enjoying the meal.
Really? That's sort of amazing to think about. So a pleasurable meal will actually be healthier for you.
Oh, yeah. There's some research clearly showing that. And by the way, it sounds strange to us sort of because of our Puritan roots, I think. You know, we think that denial is going to make us healthier. But in some parts of the world, the official dietary guidelines come right out and say this. One country, if I remember correctly, I think it's Norway, in their official dietary guidelines says food and joy equal health. But the U.S. dietary guidelines don't allude to that kind of thing at all, and we don't tend to think that way here.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like that's more of a philosophy rather than, I don't know, nutritional or scientific guidelines. But you're saying that maybe you can't really separate the two.
I don't think it's just a philosophy. I mean, I think, you know, there's a very thin line, I guess is the way I would put it, between the philosophy of diet and then the official pronouncements that come out. And the official pronouncements that come out in the form of dietary guidelines and statements from nutritional advocacy groups and other places are very much a political product, as you would expect, that come out of a lot of negotiations and such. That would be true in other countries as well as here. But here, what we think very commonly is that the closer we come to subscribing to the gospel of naught, the closer we come to keeping things out of our diet, the healthier we're going to be, rather than emphasizing also the enjoyment of the meal and the pleasures of the table.
Barry Glasner is a sociologist at the University of Southern California and the author of The Gospel of Food. Steve Paulson spoke with him.
Butter, I remember butter. We were once like lovers.